Perek Mem, chapter 40, and this is the third of four chapters dealing with David's illness. And according to the Radak, David HaMelech composed this when he returned to health after his six-month illness that we've discussed in previous weeks, that he had six-month-long illness of terrible pus-filled blisters and boils over his entire body, head to toe, as a punishment for his averus of the Maisot Bat Sheva, and also for counting Klal Yisrael. And the last two kapitulach we saw he wrote in the midst of his illness, and this kapitul he wrote when he returned to health. And we're going to see here that David HaMelech writes in here that this is a Shir Chadash, a new song. David HaMelech was at the height of ecstasy when he composed this kapitul. In fact, the truth is, it's always hard to know when I'm preparing this shir exactly how much to talk about each particular pasuk. Because the problem I had with this kapitel is I almost felt like commenting on it is interrupting what David HaMelech is saying here. His shir is so beautiful that I didn't know how to actually really explain it. So now David was still beset by dangers. The fact that he was no longer ill didn't mean his enemy suddenly liked him, and etc. So there is going to be a part of this where he's going to have a tefillah to be saved from all of his current dangers. Now, this is really, this kapitel, a core teaching of David HaMelech. We said before that the Tehillim is supposed to be the blueprint for how we should achieve success in Ruchnis. So one of David HaMelech's core teaching is extracting joy in the face of adversity. That even in his most difficult situations, you see David HaMelech constantly expressing joy in serving Hashem. And here, he's going to take that to the nth degree. Now, Rashi understands that this kapitel is also addressed to all of Klal Yisrael. In Mitzrayim, their intense faith was the virtue by which they merited to sing a Shir Chadash, the Shir Hayam, at the sea. And we'll see as we go through the Pesukim that the Radak tends to concentrate more on the David HaMelech meaning in the Pesukim, whereas Rashi is concentrating on the more national Klal Yisrael meanings. So this kapitel is divided into two main sections with little parts. The first section, David is going to give thanks for his deliverance, and in the second section is going to be a tefillah for deliverance from his current problems. So section 1 is going to be up through Pasuk 11, and then Pasuk 12 through 18 are going to be a new tefillah for David HaMelech's current problems. So with that in mind, let's jump right in, shall we? The first Pasuk, characteristically, is short. Lamanat Seach LeDavid Mizmor, for the conductor by David, a song. Now, usually, our kapitulach have been starting with Mizmor LeDavid. LeDavid did not simply make a mistake here. Yes, David. Mizmor LeDavid is what we usually have been reading, with a couple of exceptions in our earlier kapitulach. But here it says LeDavid Mizmor. So when David writes Mizmor LeDavid, it means he's writing a song for himself. A song to try and buoy his own spirits and his own amunah. When he writes LeDavid Mizmor, like he does here, it means that I, David, am writing a song for people. That I'm not writing this for myself, but I'm writing it outward for everybody else. So the difference between LeDavid Mizmor and Mizmor LeDavid is a huge difference. So here we have LeDavid Mizmor. David HaMelech is writing this, looking outward at things, as opposed to writing it, trying to buoy his own spirits. So on Pasuk Beis, he says, Kavoki visi Hashem, I have placed great hope in Hashem, v'yet elai v'yishma savati. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Now, Kavoki visi, whatever in Chumash or in Nach, we have that double shorish, it means to hope, I hoped. It's an emphasis, meaning that I really hoped a lot. I've put a lot of hope in. It's a common construction that we find in Chumash and Nach. So when David HaMelech says, Kavo Kavisi, it means place a tremendous amount of hope in Hashem. Now, why the emphasis here? David HaMelech has said before, hope in Hashem. Or I've hoped in Hashem, or we should all hope in Hashem. All of a sudden, kavo kavisi, extra, extra, extra hope in Hashem. So what he's saying is, you know what? If the first hope doesn't work, hope again. If your hope isn't realized, that's not a reason to stop hoping. Every day he hoped that Hashem would cure him, and Hashem didn't. So therefore he kept kavo kavisi, he kept hoping and hoping again. So a lot of people hope for things that doesn't happen, and they're disappointed. You hope for a refuah, you hope for hatzlacha in parnasa, you hope for success in the shidduch, whatever you hope for, and then when that doesn't happen, you're disappointed. So the Vimal says, no, kavo, and if the kavo doesn't work, kavisi. Have some more kavo. Have some more hope. And in fact, David HaMelech wanted the inspiration of hoping. What does that mean? What he wanted, more than the actual result of getting what he wanted, he cherished the success that he would have in continuing to have faith in Hashem. Now, let me try and back that sentence up again. I don't know if that sentence came out okay. David HaMelech, when he davened and hoped for something such as a refuah, he of course wanted that refuah. But more important to him was that he not lose the ability to hope and to have faith. So when he says, kavo kavisi, the hope is really the whole thing for me. That's what I did in Hashem. Yeah, I davened for a refuah and this and that, but the thing I really was able to accomplish and what really gave me a geshmak is that I never lost my hope in Hashem. And that meant more to him than actually whether he would get what he was davening for or not. The fact that he didn't lose hope was the most important thing to him. And he says, Vayet Eli, he inclined to me and he heard my cry. What does it mean, he inclined to me? David HaMelech uses that to mean Hashem is inclining, meaning doing something against the natural tether. Whereas everything Hashem does is a miracle every day, day in and day out. The fact that the sun is shining, it's dark out. The fact that the sun will shine in the morning is no less a miracle than any other kind of miracle. But nonetheless, we perceive two types of things. We perceive normal day-to-day events, and we perceive open, miraculous events. So Yate inclines is David HaMelech's way of saying Hashem performed open miracles. He inclined away from the normal Derech HaTeva and did a miracle and heard me and heard my cry. Now, this Kavo Kavisi, Rashi explains, was also the reason that Klal Yisrael was redeemed from Mitzrayim. So if you remember, I mentioned that Rashi believes that David HaMelech is also addressing Klal Yisrael with this kapitel, besides himself personally. And Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim never gave up their belief that they would be saved and that a Mashiach would come and would take them out of Mitzrayim. They didn't really have a lot of schuyos. They didn't have a lot of merit. It's true they didn't change their name, they didn't change their dress, and they continued to speak Lashon HaKodesh, right? But it wasn't like they were great tzaddikim that had a tremendous amount of merit. So they were really saved because, says Rashi, kavo kavisi, they never gave up. They never gave up their hope for one moment. You know, I often think about people who were in Mitzrayim for all those years, centuries. Plenty of people were born in Mitzrayim and died in Mitzrayim and never lived to see Yetzias Mitzrayim. So a person who's born and died in Mitzrayim, you think about such a person, lived his whole life, 70, 80 years, whatever it was, every day, kavo kavisi, hoping that the day Mashiach will come, and at the end of his life, he never saw it. So we look back and say, you know what, of course they didn't give up hope. A couple hundred years later, poof, along came Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very easy to look back from our perspective and see that. But think of it from the perspective of a person, people born and died in Mitzrayim who never saw that. The fact that they never gave up hope was a tremendous merit for them. The fact that they never gave up hope was a tremendous merit for them. And David HaMelech says in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Gimel, V'yaleini mibor shaon, miti tayavid. He raised me from the pit of waters and from the mud, which is slimy and gross. Vayakam al sala raglai, and he set my feet upon a rock. Konein Ashurai, establishing my steps. Now he raised me from the pit of raging waters, and he from this slimy mud. So the Mefarshim all have an opinion as to what this mud, what is Davar Mug referring to, that Hashem lifted him from mud. So Rashi says it's the mud of the Yamsuf. Because when Hashem parted the waters, what's left underwater? Mud. And that would have been pretty gross to be walking through, not easy. But Hashem, and one of the Nisim, was that he hardened the mud. So David HaMelech is saying, he lifted us from the mud. Now the Radak says, you know what? No, a tita yavin, a slimy, gross mud, means all different kinds of muds mixed together. And all different kinds of muds mixed together is analogous to David HaMelech's troubles. David HaMelech didn't just suffer from one thing. Oh, I have one enemy that's always pushing. He suffered from all kinds of troubles. So says the Radak, that's the reason he lifted me from the slimy mixture of mud. No matter what the trouble was, Hashem was able to save me. Now the Malbim says, you know what Tita Yavin is? It's quicksand, from which there is no escape. You can't climb out of quicksand yourself. However, says the Malbim, that's what David HaMelech is saying, that Hashem was able to lift him from quicksand. Because normally there is no escape from quicksand. Now he sets my feet upon a rock. Anybody want to take a guess what rock he's referring to? Excellent guess. He's referring to the Avin Shisiyah, right? The foundation rock upon which the Beis HaMikdash will be built. So even though David HaMelech did not get to build the Beis HaMikdash, we know he got to pursue numerous preparations. So he's thanking Hashem. Hashem lifted him up, and he's from all of this mixture of mud, whether it's quicksand or all of his troubles, and he set his foot, not only did he just raise him up and put him on the ground, he lifted him so far up that he put his foot down on the ground where the Beis HaMikdash would be. So therefore, says David, Vayitain b'fi shir chadash, he put into my mouth a new song, Tehila l'Elokeinu, praising Hashem, Yiru Rabi v'yiro, the multitude shall see and they'll be awed, v'yiftichu b'Hashem, and they will trust in Hashem. The Shir Chadash. The Shir Chadash was a gift to David along with the Refuah. The David HaMelech was saved from many troubles before, and never do we have a Shir Chadash. So David HaMelech received a gift from Hashem, not only of a Refuah, but the ability to sing a Shir Chadash. Rashi compares the Shir Chadash to the Shir Hayam that the Bnei Yisrael sang by Kriyas Yamsuf. So what is the song that David HaMelech is going to sing? David HaMelech is going to sing now in Pasuk Hey, Ashrei HaGever Asher Sam Hashem Mivtacho. Praiseworthy is the man who has made Hashem his trust, V'lofana El Rahavi V'shati Gizav, and turned out to the arrogant and to strayers after falsehood. So a Gever, why doesn't he say Ashrei Ish? A man is happy who has made his Hashem be the thing that he trusts in. Because a Gever means a strong man. A warrior is a Gever. Like Gibor, correct. It's the same word. So a Gever is someone who doesn't seem to need anything. Yet such a person who makes Hashem the object of his trust and ignores all the stranger, the arrogant other people, such a person is praiseworthy. Ashrei HaGever Shesam Hashem Yivtacho V'lofana Rahavim V'sate Kizav. Says David HaMelech, he goes on to say, in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Vav, Rabos Asisa Ata Hashem Elokai. Much have you done, Hashem my God, Niflosecha U'machshavosecha Aleinu, your wonders, your miracles, and your thoughts are for us. Ein Aruch Alecha, no one can compare to you, Agidu V'Araberu, were I to relate or speak of them, Atzmu Misaper. They're too overwhelming to even recount all the things that you've done. Just put a lot of things in here. Niflei Secha U'machshavo Secha, your wonders and your thoughts. The truth is, thoughts would come before actions, right? First you would think of it, then you would do it. So the truth is, this doesn't make any sense applied to Hashem anyway. Because Hashem doesn't think something over and then do it. There's no concept of Hashem having to decide to do something and then to do it. It's all one action to Hashem. However, we see it, this is an anthropomorphic expression, we see it as Hashem thinks and then does something. And he does it Eleinu, for us. Now, the Al-Sheikh says David HaMelech is referring to something very deep here. He's saying he does it Eleinu, for us. His Nifl HaSecha and his Machshav HaSecha are for us. It's only to us that there seems to be an interval between thought and deed. Because we can't really conceive of things in the way Hashem can. We can only conceive of them in our limited intellect. So therefore, for us, there seems to be a difference between Nifl HaSecha and Machshav HaSecha. Just like, says the Al-Sheikh to us, there seems to be a difference between Derech HaTeva and Nisim. There seems to be a difference that if I drop a phone on the floor, gravity will make it fall to the floor. And the fact that Hashem split the sea for the Yidden to walk through, that seems to be two different things to us. One is a Derech HaTeva, the way the world sort of works on an ongoing basis, and one is an obvious open miracle. Says the Al-Sheikh, it's only to us that it seems different. It isn't different. It's only because we can't perceive it any differently, so therefore we think it's different. So says David HaMelech, Nifl HaSecha and Machshav HaSecha, you performed your wonders and your thoughts Eleinu for us, in a way that we comprehend, and that it seems to us that there's a difference between these things. Nothing can compare to you. Right? If he were to speak of them, it's too overwhelming. There's nothing he can even do to describe it. Zevach u'mincha lo chafatzta, a feast offering and a meal offering you didn't desire. Hashem didn't say, David HaMelech, bring me korbanos and I will heal you. Instead, what did he want? Aznaim karisali. Ear, you opened ears for me. You didn't ask for korbanos. Instead, you opened ears. What ears did he open? He opened the ears of David HaMelech to hear the words of Nasan HaNavi. When Nasan HaNavi came and said, you have sinned, David HaMelech. So, most people would have said, oh no, not really. You see, I was just learning in Shulchan Aruch the other day that it really wasn't an Aveira because I would give him a whole answer. David HaMelech said Chatasi, his ears were open. So Hashem didn't want from him korbanos. Hashem said, I'll give you a chance, I'll open your ears. And if your ears can hear the words of the Navi, then you'll be healed. And his words could hear the other Navi. That's what Hashem did for him. Hashem didn't say, bring more korbanos and I'll heal you. He didn't want David HaMelech's additional korbanos. He wanted David HaMelech's ears, the teachers of Teshuvah. Azamarti, then I said, Hinei Vasi, behold, I have come. V'migilas Sefer Kasuv Alai, with the scroll of the book that is written for me. This is an unusual thing for David to say. It is written, he says, behold, I have come with the scroll of the book that is written for me. What does that mean? So written for me, what's written in the Torah is Naseh V'Nishma. So Rashi says David HaMelech is referring to all of Klal Yisrael having said Naseh V'Nishma. The Radak, who believes that David HaMelech is primarily speaking to individuals, says, you know what it means, Kasuv Alai? It means that I've rededicated myself to performing every mitzvah that's written in the Torah exactly as it's supposed to be done. Now the Malbim says no. You know what? You're being too literal. You know what Kasuv Alai means? It's written upon me, upon my heart. That just like the mitzvahs are written on every Jew's heart and cannot be erased, says David HaMelech, they've been re-inscribed, they've been etched deeper, Kasuv Alai, on my heart. Now, the Sforno says, you know this refers to Kasuv Alai, literally, I have to write it. The king has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. Now Megillah Sefer, Kasuv Alai, says the Sforno, means I have to write my own Sefer Torah. So whether it means a rededication of the mitzvahs, or whether it means a reference to Naseh V'Nishma, or a reference to David HaMelech having to write his own Sefer Torah, behold, he's come to the Megillah, the Chumash, and it's re-energized upon him and rededicated himself to the performance of mitzvahs. Lasos v'tzoyncha, to fulfill your will, Right? To fulfill your will, Hashem, I desire, and your Torah is in my innards. What does it mean, it's in my innards? There's a famous chazal that say that if a person should say, you know what, that pork looks pretty tasty, but you know what can I do? I can't eat it because Avinu Gazarala, that Hashem has made a rule that we don't eat chazal. So if he didn't make that rule, it looks pretty good. So people ask, how is that possible that a yid would see chazal and feel anything but revulsion? How is it possible that you think a yid walks by McDonald's and says, whoa, that looks pretty lip-smacking good. Oh, whoops, forgot, can't go in there. Instead, a person walks by McDonald's and the thought of going in there is repulsive. They don't think, oh, it's such a hard to go in and have a big cheese Mac Whopper or whatever it is. So how do we reconcile the fact that Chazal tell us it's okay to say, a person should say, that looks pretty tasty, but I can't eat it, with the fact that the natural way a person is supposed to feel is revulsion at such a thing? So the Pali Musar explained like this, 100%. When a person learns that there's a mitzvah not to eat chazer, so his response is, you know what? Okay, chazer looks pretty good. Put a little sauce, a little salt. Looks like it would be tasty, but Hashem said I can't eat it, so I can't eat it. But once a person does mitzvahs, and learns Torah, and the mitzvahs become a part of him, he should feel revulsion at the mere thought of chazer. So says David HaMelech, your Torah is in my innards. It's so inculcated in me that the thought of doing something improper is revulsing to me. I can't say, oh, that seems like a good thing, but my father made a gezeirah and I can't do that. It's like it's repulsive to me. I'm so inculcated, so filled now with the desire to do mitzvahs that your Torah is in my innards. The Lord says, Bisarti tzedek b'kahal rav. I proclaimed your righteousness in large assemblies. Hines fasai lo echla, Hashem, ata yedati. And my lips were not restrained, and you know it, Hashem. What does he mean, he proclaimed it in a vast assembly? David HaMelech had a general rule like this. Anytime anybody would gather, he would always speak to them, divrei emuna, divrei chizuk, divrei tyra. No matter what they were gathered for. If they gathered for a cabinet meeting to discuss whether or not the Third Army should march on the left bank, or the Third Army should march on the right bank in the upcoming war, David HaMelech always said, and now we're also going to talk about divrei emuna. He never let any gathering, large or small, for any purpose, his entire life, go by without saying divrei Torah to the people, and trying to speak to them about their emuna and their betachen. Think about all the things that a king has to do, and all the gatherings that a king would attend, and all the groups of people that would come to petition the king. And David HaMelech was saying, Ataya Data, you know, Hashem, the emes of this, that I never, ever spoke to a group when I didn't speak Divrei Emunah. No matter what they came for. Besarte Tzedek. We struggle with simple halachas. For people eat together in a Suda, so you have to say Divrei Torah by the Suda. Halacha is, if three people sit down to eat, not only do they have to say a mezuma, but they have to say Divrei Torah. It's a Suda. So, for us, that's a big thing. All right, someone will say a little vort there at our Suda. David HaMelech's entire life never allowed any kind of gathering for any purpose where he didn't speak Divrei Emunah to them. David HaMelech says, your righteousness I didn't conceal in my heart. Amarti, I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. And I have not concealed your kindness and your truth from the vast assembly. The truth is that Yiddishkeit often embarrasses people. And especially if you work in a non-Jewish environment, or you have to go for some reason, whether it's commerce or shopping, or for us, sort of a non-Jewish environment, sometimes people are a little uncomfortable with their public display of Jewishness. And one of the first halachas And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that a person should not be embarrassed to go out and be doing their Yiddishkeit in front of other people. But how many times people who travel and they're in an airport and they have to daven and they go find a quiet, secluded place, maybe they're a little uncomfortable with their talis and tefillin in the airport. Uncomfortable. But can't. You should be flying a flag 16 feet high, saying, look at me, I'm part of the Am Segula. But instead, we don't always feel that way. Says David HaMelech, you know what? Never. I never felt that way. I have not concealed even once within my heart your faithfulness or your salvation. I've always spoken of it. I didn't conceal your kindness and your truth from the vast assembly. I always spoke to people, and I always carried the flag of Yiddishkeit. So now David HaMelech is going to switch gears a little bit. For he still has troubles. Ata Hashem lo sikla rachamecha mimeni. Hashem, don't withhold mercy from me. Chastecha va'amitecha tamid yitzruni. Your kindness and your truth always protect me. Ki afafu alai ra'osad ein mispar. For evils have encircled me. And you can't count them. They're innumerable. I was uncountable. I don't know if that's a word or not. But you can't count them. They're so numerous. Hisiguni avonasai v'lo yacholti leros. They've overtaken me, my sins, and I'm unable to see. Atzmu misaros roshi, more than the hairs on my head, the libi azavuni, and my courage has abandoned me. David HaMelech is still concerned that his troubles will lead him to stumble. Despite the fact that he's just reached a glorious spiritual height of singing a Shir Chadash to Hashem, he's still concerned. My evil things still encircle me. And I still am full of avarice, Hashem. So please, have rachmanis on me. Ritzei Hashem lahatzileini, may it be your will to rescue me. Hashem lazrati chusha. And come to my assistance in a quick manner. What does it say? Hasten to my assistance. Yevoshu via. Now, if you remember, David HaMelech has asked before to come to his assistance quickly. Chusha. Right, does anybody remember when? It was actually last week. David HaMelech asked Hashem, and he concluded in a very odd manner the kapitel by asking that Hashem save him quickly. Why does he want Hashem to save him quickly? Hashem will save him when Hashem saves him, right? David HaMelech is afraid that Hashem needs to save him quickly, because how long can he live with his avarice? Will he be able to maintain his success? And his spiritual success, he wants to be saved quickly. David HaMelech doesn't, even though he's learned something from David HaMelech, don't ask Hashem to test you. We talked before about the whole Maisa with Bathsheba and the fact that he asked Hashem for a test. Now he's saying, you know what? Save me, come to my assistance quickly. Don't leave me to a test, for I don't know what I can do. May they be put to shame and disgrace all at once, those who seek to put an end to my soul. And may they draw back and be humiliated, those who desire my misfortune. Yasomu al Ekev Bashtam, may they be desolate and abandoned as a result of their shaming me. Ha'aymrim li ha'ach ha'ach. Those who say about me, ha'ach ha'ach, ha-ha. David HaMelech, you're nothing. Yasisu v'yismachu b'cha. They should rejoice and be glad in you, Hashem. Kol mevak shecha. Everybody who seeks you. Ya'imru, they should say, Sami yigdal Hashem. Always Hashem should be glorified. O avei teshua secha. Those who love your salvation. David HaMelech still wants his enemies to do teshuva. How is it possible that David HaMelech's enemies, if you recall when he was ill, oftentimes his enemies came and they tormented him by pretending to care about him? Imagine one lying in such a terrible state of disease, and one's enemies, who one knows one enemies, comes and says, oh, that must be so painful. Tsk, tsk, that's so rough on you. I do hope you feel better, Your Highness. And it's clear that all Devil wants is for them to do teshuva. And if they won't do teshuva, then Hashem should disgrace them. Vani ani ve'evyo. But for me, I'm an ani. I'm a poor person. I'm evyo. I'm a pauper. Hashem yachshov li. Hashem will think of me as rasi u'mafitiyata. Because you are my rescuer, Hashem. Elokai al ta'acher. And Hashem, do not delay. Now the poor and the needy, ani ve'evyon, I'm an ani, but I'm an evyon. Rashi says, more than any other pasuk, refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is an ani, and Klal Yisrael is an evyon. And they need Hashem to save them to acher, without delay. For Klal Yisrael in Gullus, as has been pointed out, is not getting better. There's a famous story from the Kotzker Rebbe where he said, you know, Hashem, you might as well send Mashiach now. We're not getting better. And what's he trying to say? He's trying to say that Gullus is hard and that we want Hashem to come al ta'acher without, I mean, Hashem to send Mashiach, to send Yeshua al ta'acher without delay. There's another famous story from the Berditcheva Rebbe. And the Berditcheva Rebbe, there's a couple different versions of this story. But one version of the story is that the Berditcheva Rebbe, when there was a big fair in town, you know, in those days in Europe, there would be market times, and all of the surrounding communities, all of the merchants would come to one town, and there'd be a big fair where they would sell goods, and it was like a huge super market kind of place. So, needless to say, there was a lot of revelry going on as well. It wasn't just business. And the taverns did a good business as well. The Berditcheva Rebbe took a piece of meat and a bottle of wine. And he went to a Jew who had and who was partaking in the revelry. And he said, here, I have something for you. Free meat and wine. The Jew said, I can't. I don't have any water for Nagelwasser. He went to a guy, and the guy took the meat and the wine and drank and ate it. And Berditcheva Rebbe said, look at your people, Hashem. Through all of these years, they won't even eat without Nagelwasser. Send Mashiach now. There's another story from the Berditcheva Rebbe of a similar nature, that the first night of Pesach, he banged on the shtender, and he said, we're not davening until someone brings me a piece of chametz. I want a piece of chametz from your home. Go bring me a piece of chametz. The people didn't know what to do. But the Berditcheva Rebbe insisted, I want some chametz. Go get me some chametz. So they went home. And of course they searched high and low. And they couldn't find any chametz. This went by. And the Berditcheva Rebbe said, no, you have to find me chametz. Finally, hours and hours went by. It's late at night. It's almost midnight. And they said, finally, Rebbe, we give up. We've searched high and low and we can't find any chametz. And the Berditcheva Rebbe gave another clap on the shtender and he said, Rabbeinu Shelaylem, your people have been in Gullus all these years and on Pesach I can't find a drop of chametz in the town. Send Mashiach now. Says David HaMelech, Elokai al ta'acher, don't delay. We're doing, we're trying, we're working. David HaMelech is telling us, hope, you have to keep hoping. Just because something doesn't happen today doesn't mean that you give up hope. David HaMelech says, Kavo Kavisi. The people of Berditchev could have said, you know what? We've been in Gullus all this time. Hashem has abandoned us. We have chametz in our houses. Instead, he couldn't find a single piece of chametz in the entire town. Says David HaMelech, that is the definition of Kavo Kavisi. I continue to hope no matter what. David HaMelech is so happy that he's been cured of this disease, that he's been given another gift from Hashem, the ability to sing a Shir Chadash, a new song, almost on a level of the Shir Hayam that the people sang by Kriyas Yamsu. And yet what message does David want to deliver with his Shir Chadash? Kavo Kavisi. Hope, you always have to keep hoping. And if hope doesn't bring the results you want today, Kavo Kavisi, keep hoping.
That's what the Berditcheva Rebbe was pointing out to Hashem. Devot Kivisi, the people don't give up. And that's what the Kotzko Rebbe meant. He's Rebbe, the Rebbeinu Shleilim. We're doing everything we can. Kavo Kivisi. Please send Mashiach the Al Te'acher. That's what David HaMelech is trying to teach us in this kapitel. The blueprint for Ruchnius here is that I'm singing a Shir Chadash because I am just filled with amazement at everything that Hashem has done for me. And I'm never going to stop Kavo Kivisi. And I didn't stop Kavo Kivisi, and now, because I didn't stop hoping, I could sing a Shir Chadash. David HaMelech saying, if we don't stop hoping, then we too will sing the Shir Chadash. We too will sing the Shir on the Sela, on the rock, in the Beis HaMikdash, if only we could remember Kavo Kivisi. Kavo Kivisi, says David HaMelech, is the secret. Every day he lie there, unimaginable pain and suffering, says David HaMelech, I never stopped Kavo Kivisi. And you know what? Every day I didn't know what was going to happen. So the next day I hoped some more. And you know what? That night I went to bed just as sick as when I got up. So the next day, Kavo Kivisi, I kept hoping, went to bed just as sick as when I got up. Finally, after 6 months, one day, Hashem sent me a refuah. And now I wasn't sick anymore. Kavo Kivisi. And not only did He send me a refuah, He lifted me so far up, my foot was on the cell and I was preparing to build the Beis HaMikdash. And not only was I preparing to build the Beis HaMikdash, but Hashem gave me through a nace the ability to sing a Shir Chadash. Yesterday I had boils covering my body from head to toe, and today I could sing a Shir Chadash, and it's all because of David HaMelech Kavo Kivisi. I never gave up hope for a moment. That's what David HaMelech is trying to teach us in this kapitel. Kavo Kivisi, and we should be Zaycha to stand on the rock and sing a Shir Chadash in the Beis HaMikdash. Questions?